Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Cause what you don't understand is I catch a grenade.
Broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, you're listening to The Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
Back at it here, 93.9 The Ville, ESPN 680, 105.7. We got plenty coming up here. We got the spring game tomorrow night. We'll have that for you here on 93.9 The Ville. So baseball will be on 970. Lou City in action on the road. We'll have that at 4 o'clock on Saturday. And then we got Soccer City tonight. And Inside Churchill Downs tomorrow night. So we got big few days. That's about as good as I can do right there. That half hour, Jeff Brom talking about trick plays and everything else under the sun. And
I mean, I feel like I could sit and talk to Jeff Brom about football and other stuff for 4 or 5 hours.
And I think he answered the Penny Boone question without answering the Penny Boone question. I think you got what you needed to know there, which was, the dude, you know, running second string, and he's got a bad agent and putting out misinformation. And by the way, let's get him some damn Bruno Mars tickets.
Yeah, what's that about?
I mean, come on, let's whoever we got to do to get Jeff Brom into. You probably have the best person you can call on that one. But let's get that. That's,
I think we'll get it done.
And I feel Jeff Brom. I just need to know how many.
Worried.
At least four.
Yeah, at least
probably
four.
Six.
Probably more than that. You got space in there for Bruno Mars. No, but it's pretty cool. And I think that what Jeff was saying, he wasn't talking directly about Penny Boone or his agent.
He
did say bad information leads to bad decisions. And that's something that you can take with you on your whole life, investing, sports, whatever. Bad information leads to bad decisions, and some guys
and
are just
bad guidance.
Play.
Bad guidance. I mean, it was pretty revealing to me. He answered it without, as he does. He is a master at saying nothing. That's why I love having him in studio to try to extract something out of him. And I say that respectfully because he's trying. All he wants to do is win. And if anything he says would make his chances of winning go down a half of 1%,
he's not going to say it.
No. So it's almost better to just talk to him about, other stuff besides football sometimes.
Sometimes. Bobby, when he was here the first time, if you went and listened to his press conferences and his coaching shows, he would tell you exactly what he was going to do and go out there and do it. And then when he came back, he wasn't doing that anymore.
No.
And I was like, what happened to this guy? I mean, I know he went to the Falcons and a lot happened in between there, but he was so forthcoming with the plan.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it was like, there's no plan. And then he's the same way.
Jim Valvano. Because when he said that against, Houston in that final, may not shoot till Tuesday or something. And they go out and run with them to start the
That's
game.
That's right. just trick them up. I think it's smart on Jeff's part. And, depth is a major part of any team. So you don't want to lose your second running back or your third running back or anything like that, but that's where Penny Boone was, and I think that's where Penny Boone trying to get to is to be the first running back on first call, and that just wasn't going to be the case here.
Especially of all positions, it's fine to be the two back. You don't get hit as much. And Isaac Guerrero is showing you
right now
that if you're that good, the NFL will figure it out.
Perfect.
I mean, I hope Guerrero gets to the second round or something crazy. I hope
that'd be awesome.
I mean, I hope there's some, where they just go, okay, this dude's too much of a freak. We got to.
Yeah.
And what I really want to know is, what are the trick plays going to be named after?
tomorrow night. Which coaches? Because he even told it on his coaches show last year that when he was getting ready to play Louisville that first game of the year in their spring game, Flea Flicker Bobby or Flea Flicker Petrino.
I think it was Petrino.
Yeah, it was one of those that he yelled at as loud as he could. Flea Flicker Petrino, because he knew that Petrino was illegally scouting his spring game.
That's just the business that we're in.
Right. No. You know? And that's what I love. He wouldn't choose these rules. He wouldn't choose to do that. But this is the life you've chosen. And right. He doesn't complain about it. No. I mean, it's just...
I do love that we don't have to go to Ref Valley with sign stealing happening, that we have headsets in Ref Valley. I'm curious to see how schools like Clemson and Oklahoma and other places adapt to that. That whole conversation was fascinating to me.
The far field corner conversation was so interesting, that if you are on one sideline and the corner on the other side of the field is looking for the play call, that corner can often... I mean, first of all, if your eyesight's not great, you could miss whatever signal is up there.
So this happened to Louisville.
And I would think as a coach, that would be a good strategy a lot of times, yes, to go against if they're signaling in defensive plays to maybe gain an edge attack in that corner.
You might remember it, but when Louisville played Florida State down in Tallahassee, we took the lead on some crazy catch by Des Fitzpatrick. And then the very subsequent possession, Florida State took it. Anthony Johnson, who finished his career at Virginia, he was the far corner from the Louisville sideline. He thought that for him, it was a corner blitz. It wasn't a corner blitz.
And so he blitzed.
There's no safety over top. Yep. And it's like an 80-yard touchdown for Florida State. That happened. It cost us a game.
Yeah.
We were in position to win. And so, that happens a lot. And so the headset will help, but it's still got to come from whoever's wearing that green dot. If it's a safety or a linebacker, often I think it'll be your middle linebacker or a great safety that you have.
What a fun conversation.
Oh, it's great. Get me into the minutia of football. Absolutely.
All right. So John Bull is never often, usually you don't want to follow John Bull. Now, John Bull is like following the pet on Letterman right now with Brahman here. So I don't know if you got to hear any of that, but that was pretty fun.
Yeah, I heard the end of it. Talk about trick plays and Grendo. I was interested in Grendo because I watched him at Wisconsin. When he was talking about we could never beat Wisconsin because they would run the ball down our throat, I was at Purdue. He was coaching Purdue. I watched the overtime game where Purdue should have won the game. Purdue was like the better team, but they just couldn't. When it was crunch time, they couldn't stop the run. What is funny about the whole thing to me is Grendo never saw the light of day. There were so many good running backs at Wisconsin.
Then he comes here,
and he does better than any of the backs at Wisconsin did, and made the correct choice, picked a better football team to get on. So good for him.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation there all the way around on a variety of things. And, he is – you're like – I'm sure you've interviewed people before. They're really good at talking and giving a soundbite, but it's ultimately about nothing. It's tough to kind of extract some things out of any advice you'd give me interviewing Jeff Brohm to try to extract something out of him that's not a answer that's trying not to tick anybody off?
You already hit on it. You got to kind of be like Dan Patrick. You got to get off subject.
Yep.
He's not going to give you anything in football. You'll get great sound bites though if you go off football.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to probably do for the most part from now, because we've got a year of evidence or more that he is going to be very professional, but he is not going to say anything. So yeah, if you talk to him about concerts, trivia questions,
he loves chili. I want to know what Jeff Brown's favorite bowl of chili
is. He would be revealing there, because there's not an opposing chili fan base he's going to tick off and gain an advantage for bulletin board material.
Right, you got to extract all the rest of his great personality, because he's not going to give you anything in football. Just be like – I've tried to be more like Dan Patrick, too, in my interviews. Just something about
– yeah.
You know, I'm a terrible interviewer, but – so you just got to try to be like the great interviewers that don't do things like you do it. So –
well, you're interviewing hostile witnesses all the time. Like John Bull Wave 3. Those are horrifying words. John Bull Wave 3. Oh, no. What have I done?
No, I was even told a long time ago, somebody said, well, you do so much better with the bad guys when you do the confrontations. Like, what is your secret? And I said, my secret is a lot of guys, hit them hard off the top and shut them down, and they turn and flee kind of thing. Your objective is to get them talking.
Yep.
So you don't come at them hard. You come at them from a side angle. You know, like, hey, I'm confused about something. Like, I saw such and such. You try to get them talking.
Yep.
And then you go for the jugular later.
That's exactly been my strategy my whole life. I went a little earlier in on this today because we were going down the line of talking about, just the transfer portal and everything else that I asked him directly about the Penny Boone situation. But it was I think I went a little too early into that because I agree with you.
I thought you were going
softened him up. Yeah,
yeah. I was surprised you went that early.
Yeah, it was a little early for me, but we were going around the periphery of the subject. And but yeah,
there is no. Magic formula.
No.
I mean, you just, and a lot of times it's just, you know, the day you talk to a certain person. Like the I can't explain why the interview I did with Pat Day that we aired the story on last night went so well. He was, even people in the newsroom were looking at the interview going, wow, he's so animated and funny, and I don't know, it was nothing that I did. It was just caught him on a good day.
Yeah, but also, I mean, also is, you know, the best advice that I ever give anybody interviewing people is don't answer the question for them. You know, make the question short so the answers can be long.
Right. Another key is good preparation. If you prep and you know things that you want to get to, that you can then surreptitiously set them up. You want to set them up to go somewhere to expound on something you want to get into. The best way to do that is to prepare, is to know everything about it.
Yeah, no, I agree, and it's a mistake I made on that one. I went really hard in the paint early on Penny Boone, but he gave us an answer. Yeah, I'm getting advice. Don't go straight for the jugular with him, or you probably won't get him on again. Yeah. No,
no,
be quiet
over
there.
Not.
But I think with him, I think you're right. I think moving forward, the best thing to do is just ask him about non-football stuff because he's an interesting guy. You know, like he's got,
yeah.
He's, you know, and he did, you know, he did come down to spring break, and we watched the Final Four together. I'll tell you that right now. I'm glad he said it because it was like, I don't know if I should bitch that or not, but yeah, and that's when I dropped the greatest trivia sports question I know, which was the name of the four color, the schools, the name of the schools of color. And it was like 10 minutes of fun between, you know, all, a bunch of people had been around sports their whole lives. And it took like took his wife to get the last of the four answers. It's Siena, Auburn, Navy, and Siena, Auburn, and Brown. are the four. So
he strikes me as such a hardworking guy sometimes really hardworking guys want to talk about something else.
Yeah, you're right. 100%.
Yeah,
absolutely. John Bolt this year, Wave 3. So, okay, I haven't seen the Pat Day story yet. What made it so good?
The backstory, when he started getting into details about the three straight second-place finishes in 88, 89, and 90, and that was right when I was falling in love with horse racing. I moved here in 88. And I remember vividly, you know, Unbridled Summer Squall, and I remember Sunday Silence Easy Goer. And for him to say point blank, Easy Goer was better than horse than Sunday Silence. For him to say Summer Squall was way better horse than Unbridled, and then go into great detail, all that we couldn't put in the story, but as to why, you know, a big part of Kentucky Derby success is selecting the right horse if you're the jockey. Pat Day had the choice what year would that have been?
87?
No, wait, you're talking about some. Wait, what year?
Unbridled and Summer Squall.
90.
That would have been 90, right?
Yeah.
He had the choice. And even though Unbridled won the Derby, you know, he tells this great story about Summer Squall. He said it was like a Ferrari on the Waterson. And every button he pushed, he went zip, zip, zip all over the track. And he said going in the far turn, he was freaking out going, wow, this isn't a matter of whether or not I'm going to win. This is how much I'm going to win by.
Wow.
And he got around that turn, and the horse started freaking out, and he didn't understand what went wrong, and he got second place. And he went home and watched the replay, and saw vividly that the infamous wall of sound that has ruined so many horses coming home for Derby got Summer Squall, cost him, right back in the Preakness, wins with Summer Squall. And he's right, you know, Summer Squall was the better horse, but not on Derby Day.
And it's impossible to know that because you can't replicate that in any sort of practice.
Right.
Well, yeah, you don't know that thunder snow is going to break from the gate and just buck up the track. You know,
right.
You don't know that's
right.
going to happen.
Right. Yeah. Good.
It's just why it's just the most incredible, you know, event. You know, it's just 2 minutes. It's one point in your life. You'll never be back there again. You'll never be a 3-year-old colt on first Saturday in May again. It's your one shot. Things might be going great. You, all the external stuff that's going on, like poor Mike Rapoli, right?
No, poor,
like, so like
poor Mike.
2011, he's got the favorite Uncle Mo. Day before Derby's got a scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Last year he's got Forte. Day of Derby, forced scratch. And then you got to sit there and watch the horse you just beat in your last Derby prep, Mage, win the race after mm-hmm. they forced you out. And now this year he's coming right back with the favorite again. So, like, I think this might be his year.
Yeah, I hope it didn't get another one of these vet scratches. I mean, that was a moment there last year. Seeing, was it last year where you see all the footage of them walking around the barn?
Yeah, it was last year.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, the state vet in meeting with him and Pletcher walking away, shaking his head. And then you know, but Rapoli's a straight-up good dude. You know, does an interview right there talking mm-hmm. about how devastated he is and yet not being sour grapes. Like, that was the toughest moment of last year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, are you still all over fierceness? Or are you moved off of it?
Funny you should mention that. Yes. Yes, I am. However, I got your cold exacta, and I'm starting to really like another horse.
All right.
Your cold exacta is fierceness and catching freedom. Have you been doing much research into catching freedom?
Have not. Tell us about catching freedom.
Okay, so to me and to most people so far, it was shaping up to be a two-horse race, right? Fierceness and Sierra Leone.
Yeah, I don't know. The Derby is never a two-horse race, but go ahead. I'll stipulate, Your Honor.
I'm talking about on paper and on when you watch the actual races. Like, I have watched pretty much every race, every Derby prep, multiple times now, breaking it down. So the Blood Horse just put out, remember Jenny Reese's famous final fractions theory thing?
Oh, yeah, the final fraction, okay, final quarter mile, yeah.
So Blood Horse just did it. They just put out a story on the final fractions, and for listeners who don't know what that is, it's you got to finish, you got to do the final 3/8 in under 38. You got to be coming home flying is essentially the theory. Final 3/8 in under 38. And the final furlong in under 13. If you can do both of those, 9 of the past 12 Derby winners have been able to attain essentially flying coming home under a certain number. So they put all the horses under that, and there's 9 horses this year that hit the final 3/8 in under 38. That's a lot. But what's news about that is Sierra Leone is not one of them.
Hmm.
You would think Sierra Leone would. Everybody yep. loves Sierra Leone because it's a big, fast closer, right? Well, the fact is Sierra Leone was closing in the bluegrass into plotting horses. It was not as impressive as it looked. So one of the ones that had some of the most impressive final fractions was Catching Freedom. So I went back and looked at the Louisiana Derby. Absolutely flying last to first to win that. And had to go really wide. And if I'm not mistaken, the Louisiana Derby is the longest Derby prep, right? It's like 1 3/16.
I'll take your word.
I think it's the longest one, so it's darn near mile.
I didn't know anybody did 1 3/16. That's interesting.
I'm not sure about this, but I think it is the longest Derby prep. I think I read that. So then I'm thinking, well, why haven't I heard of Catching Freedom? So, you know, why is its record 3-0-1? And so I went back and looked at the Risen Star where I got third. Well, the Risen Star was in the slop, and Catching Freedom was flying again. But if you watch the race, gets squeezed out. Gets absolutely squeezed and sacked and spit out the back when he was flying. So
that sells me. I like that. I like that. And have we looked at rag numbers on this too? Because I would think those would be good, but I don't know.
I'm not as big on rag numbers as I am on on eye test and watching the races themselves and see what happens.
Yeah. No, I mean, definitely.
Anyway.
Yeah, go ahead.
So far, I love Catching Freedom, but I don't think anybody is going to beat Fierceness. For reasons I just laid out, I think it's Rapoli's year. I mean, when you win by 13 in the Florida Derby after being geared down for a whole 16th.
Yeah.
And then I went back and do you remember? I went back and looked at Fierceness's Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Okay.
Dude, that was impressive too, man. That was against Muth, and blew Muth's doors off going down the stretch.
Right, and Muth—that's the horse that we're in the big fight for the Arkansas Derby and trying to get him into the field. And
Is the lawsuit tomorrow? Do you think give it any chance? What do you think?
Well, I've been talking a lot with Mark Stevens, our reporter, who's been covering all these hearings, and Mark is the one who broke the story that the judge was right when the judge predicted that other horse owners are going to want to jump in. And sure enough, what is it? Imagination's owners jumped in.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Mm-hmm. Imagination, the other horse that is a Bob Baffert horse. They now all of a sudden they want in now too, so they're trying to jump on the coattails of Abyss and of Muth. And so we were trying to read the tea leaves with the way the judge is asking questions. And I give it 30% chance. I give it 70-30, just based on some of the questions he was asking.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, that could really shake things up, to say the least. I don't know.
They were asking me at work what I want, and I said, well, I'm a big fan because I work in news. I'm a fan of chaos.
Absolutely.
So let's say he does issue a ruling by tomorrow. Let's say he shocks the world and says Muth can be in it, and this other horse can be in it. So then Churchill is exactly correct. Now that means that's two horses that now get punted, right, from the lineup. So these
until they file their countersuit and injunction, right? I mean, there's got to be legal countermoves.
That's what I'm saying. So these horses, they fly these horses in, and then next week Churchill appeals it, and then like coming right down to what I'm doing the pill pull Saturday night. And then all of a sudden, you know, it gets reversed, and they kick Muth out and the other horse and bring the other ones back in. That would be some good Derby chaos.
Yeah, we're all for drama. Have you been over and seen the paddock at all? Like, were you over there the other day when they were? It was Kenny McPeak's footage. Yeah, so.
No, I was not over there. I have not seen it in person yet.
It looks great. It looks incredible. Yeah. Absolutely. John, do you have your spot picked out, or are you moved around because of all the construction, or are you going to be in a similar area?
We were just talking about it last night. We have multiple spots, and now on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of Derby Week, Kevin and I are going to be anchoring together. We've got like a portable set, and the producer was asking me where we want to be set up, and I said, well, obviously we want to be set up in the paddock because that's where the people are.
Sure.
That's what's new.
Yeah.
So that's where I want to be for our early evening shows Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
That'll be awesome, man. I can't wait. You know, there's been so much construction out there over the last few years. I'm excited for it to kind of just be for a little bit. You know, and I don't know. I'm sure Churchill will announce another project, but yeah. I'm excited for it to all kind of be just completed and done.
Hey, I don't care if they're like a major amusement park, and they add every year. They can add every year for all I care.
I'm the same way.
I am really thrown off in here because Drew Diener's been eating
ice cream, Bluebell ice cream
with fruity pebbles in it.
That's unbelievable. The guys from Bluebell dropped by.
Did you just put it in your coffee?
Yeah. I mean, you put milk in your coffee, right?
So you put fruity pebble ice cream
a little bit. It's good.
So I'm distracted, John.
Yeah,
this is really
a historic moment. Really, it really was.
It's 8:55 in the morning. Of course, you've been up a long time.
When Greg Guthrie from Bluebell drops by, ice cream. Yesterday, you should have seen it. We had an impromptu taste test yesterday on the V Show, the perfect show to have an impromptu taste test on. Do you have a go-to flavor?
I'm not much of an ice cream guy, to tell you the truth. Cookies and cream when I get talked into it. I'm a healthy triathlete there, Drew.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he's about to run the mini marathon.
Well,
next
I was.
Oh, you're not doing it?
Yeah.
You've pulled out?
I have pulled out. Me and J3 have decided we will walk a couple hours, run a little bit, talk about Clint. But I'm not going to injure myself for lack of good training for this. I'm making an anti-John Bowl decision.
And that's why the Fruity Pebble ice cream just went in the coffee, because he's not running next week. That's why I did that.
So you're a late vet scratch here.
I am.
Ice cream now.
Not even a vet scratch. More of an owner scratch. Just like, hey, it's owner not the scratch. Best. Or a trainer scratch. I mean, it's not the best thing for the horse. You know, it's not the best thing for my Derby week if I go out and try to run 13 miles when I really haven't run past 6 and don't plan on getting many more big runs in. So, I don't want to injure myself the week before Derby just to say I ran my worst mini time ever, you know, which that's what it would be.
No, you don't want to have a miserable time. I can still remember the days long ago where, like, you'd be at Butchertown Pub the Friday night before the mini, and people literally deciding after their second Long Island tea, you know what? I'm going to run the mini tomorrow. You want to do that? Yeah. Let's all run the mini tomorrow.
You did that?
I didn't do it at that place, but I did do it in a similar fashion. Yes.
Really? Like, how much did you train? Like, it was the furthest?
None. I didn't train at all.
You didn't train any and you ran 13?
Yeah.
Or tried to?
I did. I finished it.
You had to walk some. There's no way.
I did not walk at all.
Wow.
I had to stop and use the restroom.
Bravo.
Which was awful, because then all of a sudden, as soon as you stop,
your legs are
just cramping up. So it was terrible. But yeah, no, I did it without training.
How long did you limp?
It ruined me for like 3 days.
See, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Wait a minute now. Rewind the tape. You used the restroom. I'm not a restroom user.
Oh, I am.
Well, I had to. There was no
number two.
Oh, back.
Yeah. All that up and down stuff was.
I had to do that here at the station because I realized that the station was on the mini course.
Right.
And so I had somebody open the back door. I'm like, open the back door. I'm going to come in, make sure nobody's in the bathroom. It's very efficient because there's like a line at these porta potties in the race. And it's like, you know, John, you know that. That's going to, you know, your time's going to be 3 minutes.
Yeah, you're done. I think I've told you the stories before. Like, I have used the bathroom even like in my wetsuits. I don't stop for the rest facilities. Is the point? Even on.
So
the
you're flight. Saying you've crapped yourself in the river in a wetsuit?
I was worried when I peeled the wetsuit off at the end of the swim. It was going to look like. Yeah.
Oh gosh! But you got to do what you got to do. I get it, man.
Yeah, I'm not a rest facility person for the reason you just said, that your time is shot. You're waiting in a line.
Yeah.
Now the trick is using the facilities while you're biking.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds interesting. Like, you just pee yourself while you're riding a bike.
Yes, but it's more difficult than you think, and you can't be near other people because a big fishtail of spray comes up off the tire.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's rough. That's rough.
Yeah. Well, nothing like radio to reveal crapping and peeing yourself to a local.
Secrets of triathlon. Yeah,
it is the dirty secrets of triathletes.
I mean, if you've ever been in, it's an emergency when you got to go that. And so thankfully the firehouse here on 4th Street, coming from Churchill to U of L, was kind enough to let me use that. But I was ruined after that. Like, I was rolling along pretty good, and then limped home the rest of the way.
Well, nowadays you can't decide the night before to do it because you can't register. You know, like in the old days you could register like right up till day of.
Yeah,
now you can't do that anymore.
I've done that with the 10 miler. I did that 1 year with the 10 miler. I mean, I've been running. I run 4 or 5, so it wasn't like out of nowhere. But I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. Woke up and I'm going to do it.
Yeah, so probably the worst.
My
time
daughter's
in the world.
Coming in to do the mini, her first mini marathon here, and. She was asking me a whole bunch of questions about the course and how the course used to be, and I was trying to explain, and I sent her some screen grabs of the old course over the years, especially the marathon course. Have you run the marathon?
No, I'm never running that ever.
No. Because the marathon, you know, now again goes all the way out to Iroquois Park and then comes back, and now this year it's going to come back and then kind of go out toward the water tower along the river at the end to add the extra miles on. But in the old days, a lot of people listening here will remember they took it out into the Highlands, even 1 year out into Cherokee Park.
Really?
They've had, and then of course through COVID, they took you up into Indiana. That was really weird. But I'm glad they've settled back on something now that's you know, kind of classic, which is going out to Iroquois Park.
Yeah, because that's me. Southern Parkway makes the Mini for me. The way that people celebrate it, the way they take pride in it, it absolutely makes the race. I don't know why you would ever not go along Southern Parkway.
Well, I mean, they had to switch it from they wanted to start and stop downtown, mm-hmm. so that automatically took Iroquois Park out of the Mini mix. I mean, they only go out now as far as Churchill Downs and back.
Yeah, it's a great race. It's a great event. It's just an amazing time to be in Louisville, and to try to explain to people from outside the city what it's like is not possible, because it's so different than going to a major, like an NBA Finals, a Super Bowl, you know, a major, you know, there's things that are very similar in other sports, NCAA tournament, that are just different here, and you just, you know, you try to explain to people, but they have to come experience and then go, oh, yeah, you're right, I should have come in on Tuesday and gone out and seen the horses work out in the morning. I should have done that. Yeah, let's take some local knowledge.
Yeah, the whole thing, and Kevin and I were talking last night about, think about the, you know, because I'm doing this Derby history series, right? Mm-hmm. By the way, shameless plug, every night at 6,
yes.
This week and next week, we've covered 3 so far. You can find them on wave3.com or on my social media pages. I'll post them each night if you miss them. But we were talking about, in terms of history, think about the 5-year stretch. This has been by far the most dramatic,
oh, yeah.
chaotic,
yes.
crazy 5-year stretch in the history of the Kentucky Derby. You've got the maximum security DQ in 2019, fans DQ'd in 2020, Medina Spirit DQ in 21, second longest shot ever wins in 22, and then last year the 5 scratches in the 24 hours before Derby.
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, it really is. It's absolutely, like, you can't make up the drama. I mean, like I said, smartest guy in radio, Scott Master, always says sports is the male soap opera, and that's what we've had. We've had soap opera after soap opera here the last few years, and I don't know what we can do. Look, and you'll get more of it if by somehow there's a, you know, Bob Baffert finds a way to get his ass in a race. You know, like, it's crazy.
I know, man. It could be total chaos. But I don't think Muth is good enough anyway. So,
That has nothing to do with that. But we just want the drama of it, right?
Starlight, yeah, baby, right. It's good enough. It's probably going to win the Derby if he gets in.
Well, that would be the way things would go, though. That,
yeah.
In Derby history, you know, Baffert does get in. How would that go if Baffert gets in? How will he be treated? What will reaction be?
I think the fans will like whether. I don't think it's going to happen. Let me just state that. But I think the fans would be all for it.
Never mind, it's Zidane.
Yeah,
it's not Starlight.
I don't know. I thought you were talking about their other horses.
Okay. I get skewed by social media. You know, Twitter is not reality.
Yeah, and, exactly.
So I get kind of thrown off by that. I think it would be kind of funny if he got in and then like won. Wow.
it'd be the best thing to get attention for the sport, like it or not, you know.
It'd be good ratings for Wave TV, the Derby station.
And the radio Derby station as well here on ESPN Louisville.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be great, man. So, all right, John. Well, we'll look for those series to continue.
All right, yeah, tonight we do maximum security, but speaking of that, we're going to get into the DQ and all the stuff that went and all the reaction and stuff, and then tomorrow night we're doing Seattle Slew to round out the week. So tune in to Derby 150 Moments in History. It's good stuff.
Yep. All right. Appreciate it, John Bo. We'll talk soon.
Yep. See ya. Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. John Bowles with us here, 93 in the Ville, ESPN 680, 105.7. We'll continue along here this morning. We've been all over the place here just as we have, you know, just kind of a crazy couple of days here. I do want to tell you, if you're thinking about, you know, if you even want to bet, you can even go through, you know, FanDuel to bet the Derby with their app. But also, obviously, with the NBA playoffs going on right now, if you want to get in on the action, FanDuel still has a number. If you haven't signed up yet, you can still get their sign-up offer of $150 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/DrewD. It's FanDuel.com/DrewD. You can do that. But you got the finals coming up. Not the finals. I mean, you got start of the playoffs, not the finals. Forever away from the finals, probably, more than likely. But the NBA play-in tournament, you know, that's got us to the real tournament. It's give you a chance to play your way in the postseason. And now, place any $5 bet. And you'll get $150 back in bonus bets, win or lose, if you're signing up for the first time to use during the NBA playoffs. Or maybe you want to bet the golf, or maybe whatever you want to wager on, they'll have it for you at FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com/DrewD. You want to go over under three-pointers in a game. You want to do first basket score. All that. Swing for the fences. I did not get Zion to the first basket of the game the other night. That was part of my parlay.
That?
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? So
that's a tough one, yeah. Man. That's random.
FanDuel.com/DrewD. Must be 21 or over. Present in Kentucky. First online real money wager. Only $10 deposit required. Bonus issues. Not withdrawal bonus, but expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook at FanDuel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.